On Sunday, April 16th at 11 p.m., Suge in My Bowl presents bassist, composer, band leader, Linda Mahon Oh. Join us as we discuss Linda's latest release, Walk Against Wind, her upcoming jazz standard date, and much more. That's Sunday, April 16th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. Listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Suge in My Bowl is the name of this program. My name is Joyce Jones, and our guest for this evening is band leader, bassist, composer, and in-demand side person, Linda Mahon Oh. We're going to open the program in celebration of National Poetry Month with a piece by Abby Lincoln from You Gotta Pay the Band, titled You Made Me Funny. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Suge in My Bowl, starting now.
Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. Sugar in my
bowl. You made me funny. You made me crooked, twisted like a pretzel, a zilch, a twitch, a wink in somebody's eye. You made me funny. A nod, a sigh. Why you made me funny? You made me wacky. You made me nervous. You made me swallow and breathe. Swallow and breathe. Oh, you made me shaky. You made me funny. You made me frightened and alarmed. Frightened and alarmed. You made me flaky. You made me shaky. You made me freaky. You made me sneaky. You made me funny. Oh, you made me funny. You made me shallow and deep. You made me waken to sleep. You sent me a stranger to go everywhere, to labor and wander and live with a stare. made me for always. Design of the master. You made me to shine. With that point of view, you made me perfect. And you made me funny, too.
Hi, my name's Joyce Jones, and I'm on the line with...
Linda Mahan O.
And I was wondering about that. Linda Mahan O. I, in the past, have seen you listed as Linda O, and now recently I'm starting to see you as Linda Mahan O. So, is that what we are calling you now?
Yeah, well, that's what my latest release has been released under. That's the full name.
Yes.
And I have started including that more in my professional settings. Mahan was the name that I was given at birth. That's my Chinese name. And Linda was given to me when my family moved to Australia when I was 3 years old. So it was just, I guess, a decision to include that in. I know it kind of makes the whole name a bit longer. I think it was good. I thought about it a lot, and Mahan is a big part of me, and I wanted to include that in my professional name.
Let them know this is what your name is. I love it.
Yeah, it hasn't always been easy in the sense that, like, it's, sometimes it's hard to make the transition, and, like, you don't want to inconvenience anyone or make them feel uncomfortable if they can't pronounce the name Mahan. But I felt it necessary to do this, and I'm really happy with it, and I'm glad to be releasing this next release under Linda Mahan O. Yeah.
And the name of the release, which was released last Friday, April 14th, Walk Against Wind on Biophilia Records.
Yes, exactly.
And I understand there's a reference to Marcel Marceau in the title?
Yeah. The reason why I called it Walk Against Wind, it's named after one of Marcel Marceau's iconic pantomime routines called Walking Against the Wind. And I chose that title for a few different reasons. I guess the first reason is that I've been doing a lot more teaching in the last few years, and in some of the workshops that I do with students, sometimes I like to start with a little clip of Marcel Marceau performing this pantomime where he's kind of doing conversational actions to accompany some instrumental improvisation, an alto saxophone and a trombone player conversing together. And it's a really beautiful clip to demonstrate how conversation within music can work. But also, I find it interesting to start with something like that to educate the students a little bit about Marcel Marceau's history. And also, sometimes when I find teaching students, especially within an institution, I remember as a student that sometimes your head can get very, I guess, tied up with your immediate surroundings of grades. There's so much pressure within a school environment to deliver in your combos, in your classes, that sort of thing. And sometimes it's good to think outside the box. And I like to tell the story about Marcel Marceau, how before he became famous, he was a very talented drawer, a very talented entertainer. He was very inspired by Charlie Chaplin, and he used those talents to help young Jewish children escape from the Second World War. He helped with his skills with young children and his pantomime. He helped keep them quiet and deliver them safely across the borders. He also used his talent drawing to reconfigure identification cards in order to make sure that they're safe from danger. It's just something that I like to talk about with students sometimes to kind of take their mind just for a second away from chord changes or compositional tools or all the technical elements of what they're studying within their programs, and just think for a second of just the bigger picture.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you shared all of that about Marcel Marceau with us, because I actually was not aware of all of the other information. I just knew he was an amazing pantomime. When I was a child, I used to see him. Yeah, I'm much older than you. I saw him on the Ed Sullivan Show. And, you know, he was on variety shows. So thank you so much for that. Now, the compositions that are on Walk Against Wind, did you write all of them?
Yes. Yeah, I did. They're all original. Yeah.
Great. How did they come about? How did you gather all of these compositions?
I mean, each of them have a different story behind the composition. Each of them been constantly crafting and workshopping with fellow musicians that I've played with at various gigs. And, you know, they've evolved over time. I guess I'll start with the first composition. It's called Lucid Lullaby. Originally, the title was Lullaby 18 Plus. And it's a lullaby for adults.
Thank you.
One thing with the actual composition was, and I think with a lot of these compositions, is that I wanted to put the bass maybe a bit more on the forefront in terms of melody. And I guess I wanted the bass to have a bit more control over the melody and the shape of the tune, not just playing the bass line or, you know, accompaniments. So Lullaby is pretty much like that. It's just a mellow little ballad in 5/4 for those music geeks out there, 5 beats to a measure.
Excellent.
And so the bass has a melody, and yeah, I had a lot of fun with that tune. The next song, Fire Dancer. A friend of mine is still working on a film called Arara, and she's a really interesting person. Her film is about the displacement of indigenous people in Brazil as a result of development of dams and that sort of thing. Her movie is about a young girl who is part of an indigenous community who is getting displaced, and this young girl gets lost. I don't want to give too much away, but there's one beautiful scene where she's lost and she gets taken away in a car, and she looks out the window and there are these shots of a Brazilian fire dancer with their torches. And so I wrote that melody based those shots and those quips, and basically the bass melody is the fire dancer's feet, while the accompanying saxophone and guitar, all the hits, those are the cars as they whiz by past the fire dancer. So that's how that one came about.
Now, would you want to share who the filmmaker is?
Yeah, no? Okay. Her name is Sabrina McCormick.
Okay.
And I've worked on a couple of her other films. One film is a short film called A Good Egg. It's about a woman in her late 30s and her decision whether or not to have a baby or have a career, essentially. She addresses lots of things, a miscarriage and that sort of thing, and you just have to see it. Another short film she did, it's called Fractured, and it's kind of a sci-fi film about a dystopian future as a result of fracking. She's an interesting person. I think she's one of the producers of the series Years of Living Dangerously, which addresses climate change and environmental issues. It's a great series, and it usually features a celebrity on each episode visiting a place that has experienced some drastic climate change or some environmental issues. So, yeah.
Interesting. The next selection?
Speech Impediment.
It is exactly. Speech Impediment. That one reminds me of a Weather Report song.
It's a bit of a quirky piece. It's based on a fictional story about a man who's trying to tell a woman that he loves her, but he can't because he's got such a bad stuttering problem. And he manages to show her that he loves her in other ways, and everything is great in the end. It's a happy ending. Thank you. About how people can at times judge people at face value, and kind of like thinking about how we as people can look beyond that. It was inspired by a few different things. A TED talk that this singer-songwriter from Australia, Megan Washington, she did a fabulous TED talk about her problem as a stutterer and how despite that she's managed to have quite a great career as a musician and singer-songwriter. And I've had people in my life who have had speech impediments or stuttering problems, and to see, it's just interesting how people, they put a lot of emphasis on how people carry themselves with confidence and ease. And if we could kind of look a little beyond that, just to see what's within someone as opposed to just the exterior, I think things would be a lot better. So that's speech impediment.
Perpluzzle.
Yeah, perpluzzle. That's just a crazy little tune. It's the words perplex and puzzle put together. It's just, yeah, just a weird little tune with kind of internal twists and turns and its own internal logic. Just a really fun tune that I love to play with my band. Yeah.
Thank you.
you provide wordless vocals. Well,
so that's something I I wanted to add in, you know, just as an extra voice, and particularly in Papuzzle, it's kind of, as I mentioned before, it's kind of a crazy little tune, and there's a section at the end that's all in, for any music geeks out there, it's in seconds, so it's kind of one of those crunchy voicings, and having a third melody note kind of helped that crunchiness. Yeah, it was just something that I wanted to add, just as a different color. Yeah, I'm not a vocalist, and that is not what I consider myself as the forefront thing. It's just an addition and adds a different texture and different color. So, yeah, it's just a fun thing to do.
We're going to skip the next one because we did talk about it already, Walking Against Wind.
Yeah.
Econ Bills?
Okay. Yeah, Econ Bilis. That's just the Malay word for anchovy. Yeah. I mean, my mom's an amazing cook, and she cooks everything from traditional Chinese food to more Malay-influenced food. So ikan bilis, those little dried anchovies that you have with this dish called nasi lemak, which is like coconut rice with a boiled egg and anchovies and peanuts. And and I just remember as a little kid, it just reminds me of being a little kid, pretty much. So, yeah, that's ikan bilis.
And it's so cool that it's followed by something called Mother Reason.
Yeah.
You're talking about your mother's cooking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Amazing woman, and I come from a household, I have two older sisters, and they're all very strong, independent women in my household. So Mother Reason, it's about how, like, my mom just always knows if you've done something or if you're not feeling great, she just knows, you know.
Yeah, I think that's like a mother superpower.
yeah, and it's so true. It's just this, like, really instinctive thing of, like, they just know when.
Right.
Yeah, that's Mother Reason.
Excellent. Now, the next one, Mantis, it includes one of your, well, we didn't talk about, or we will, I guess, at some point, talk about who is featured, the personnel of this release. But this particular one features an artist, Minji Park.
Yep.
You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Shugan Mabol's name of the program, our guest for this evening, is composer, bassist, occasional vocalist, and side person, Linda Mahon Oh. What you're listening to right now is Mantis from Linda Mahon Oh's latest release, Walk Against Wind. This is a 2017 Biophilia Records release. Linda Mahon Oh on acoustic bass, Ben Wendell on tenor saxophone, Matthew Stevens on guitar, Justin Brown on drums, and we have Minji Park on two instruments that are based in Korea. I left the pronunciations to Linda Mahan Oh. Before that, we heard also from Walk Against Wind an excerpt of Mother Reason. And before that, we heard Perpluzzle and Speech Impediment. The lineup is the same with the exclusion of Minji Park. Before that, we heard an excerpt from Weather Report's Forlorn. That's from their 1980 CBS Night Passage release. Before that, we heard Fire Dancer from Linda Mahan Oh's Walk Against Wind. That's Linda Mahan Oh on acoustic bass, Ben Wendell on tenor saxophone, Matthew Stevens on guitar, Justin Brown on drums, and the addition of Fabian Almazan on piano. Before that, we heard Lucid Lullaby from Walk Against Wind. Also from Walk Against Wind, Walking Against Wind. That is dedicated to Marcel Marceau. As mentioned earlier, we opened our program after our theme from Nina Simone with Abby Lincoln. You Made Me Funny from her 1991 Verve Records release, You Gotta Pay the Band. That's Abby Lincoln on spoken word and vocals, accompanied by Charlie Hayden on bass. And as always, our theme is I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl from Nina Simone, the very best of Nina Simone. Sugar in My Bowl, 1967, 1972. This is an RCA BMG compilation, originally recorded in 1967. This compilation was released in 1998. Coming up next is our On the Bandstand segment with our associate producer Hank Williams and a ticket giveaway to see Linda Mahan Oh at the Jazz Standard. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl continues.
Pronounce what she's playing, because I know I'm going to mess it up.
Yeah, so she plays, and I hope I'm pronouncing it well as well, she plays the gangari, which is like a high-pitched gong, little gong, and the jango, which is a double-sided kettle-shaped drum.
Yes.
And I got to meet Minji through another friend of mine. The whole story kind of begins a few years ago when I was playing at a festival in Gwangju in Korea, and it was with a collective of musicians. It was with a friend of mine called Simon Barker. He's a fantastic drummer from Sydney, Australia. And he's gone back and forth over the last few decades to Korea to learn traditional Korean drumming. Mm-hmm. And he's also featured on a great documentary called The Intangible Asset No. 84, which is directed by director Emma France, who is actually from Perth, my hometown. And we met years and years ago playing on a wedding gig that she was singing on. And so she's now a fantastic film director, and she just did a great film about Bill Frisell.
Yes.
I think that just came out, yeah.
The guitarist.
Exactly. So the gig in Gwangju was a world music festival, and it was with Simon Barker, and it was with Korean-born Japanese pianist called Hakuei Kim, and then a Korean-Japanese percussionist called Yongchi Min, and Hagen player, Hyuna Kim, I think was her name. So it was really interesting in that, like, not everyone spoke the same language. I would speak to Simon in English, because we're both from Australia, and Hakaway spoke some English, but he didn't speak any Korean.
Mm.
So he would speak Japanese to the percussionist, and the percussionist would translate in Korean to the Hagen player.
Oh, wonderful.
And it, yeah, it was a wonderful train of communication, yeah. And we managed to get together some repertoire for this one concert in Gwangju, and I wanted to play something that maybe, although we were coming from all different backgrounds, that maybe we could all have some sort of familiarity with something compositionally. So I took some lessons from Simon in some Korean rhythms, and I came up with this piece called Mantis, and it's based on a traditional Korean rhythm called Oche Chilgut. So we played it then, and so this is the tune that's on the record. And since then, I've been taking some Janggu lessons, which is the double-sided drum.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and Minji is actually my teacher.
Oh, wow.
And she's been super inspiring. So she played Django and Dangari on this one track. Yeah.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for April 16th. This segment features aerial listings of Suga and My Bold guests so you can see them live. And this week's show features bassist Linda Mayon O. We have listings for her, a ticket giveaway, and another Listen Here entry, so get ready to copy down the phone number. Her CD release event for the brand new Walk Against Wind will be on Wednesday, April 19th at the Jazz Standard. You can also see her on Tuesday, April 18th at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Dizzy's Club with Jaleel Shaw, or on the 21st at Cornelia Street Cafe with Chris Dingman's trio. And we have two pairs of tickets to give away to the 9:30 p.m. Wednesday set at the Jazz Standard. We'll take the first two callers while we're on the air at 347-508-5447. That's 347-508-5447. Call right now if you're interested in a pair of tickets to the 9:30 p.m. Wednesday set, and I'll repeat that again at the end of the segment if you missed it. For an extended preview, we're streaming her just-released Walk Against Wind as our next Listen Here entry on our blog right now. You can stream the entire CD for a limited time, as well as our previous entry with saxophonist Claire Daly's 2648 West Grand Boulevard with covers of Motown songs. Click on the link for the blog on our main website for all of that. Now, let's get to this week's listings. We start with director John Scheinfeld's John Coltrane documentary film, Chasing Train. It's screening at the IFC Center in Manhattan through Thursday, April 20th, and we have a review of that film up on our blog as well. Saxophonist Gary Bartz is at the Blue Note on the 17th with pianist McCoy Tyner. Pianist Harold Mayburn leads a trio at Smalls on the 19th. Bassist Christian McBride is at the National Jazz Museum in Harlem to talk about his recording and performing career for the third installment of the Session Stories series on the 20th. Drummer and percussionist Will Calhoun is in Montclair, New Jersey at the Wellmont Theater with Paul Schaefer's band on the 21st, and at the Westbury Theater on Long Island on the 22nd. Saxophonist Oliver Lake leads a big band at the Jazz Gallery on the 21st through the 22nd. Trombonist and seashellist Steve Turay leads a quintet at Smoke from the 21st through the 23rd. Trombonist Craig Harris is at Sister's Place in Brooklyn on the 22nd. Saxophonist Wayne Shorter is at Newark's NJPAC from the 22nd through the 23rd. Also at NJPAC, he is bassist Christian McBride, who's there on the 23rd with bassist Esperanza Spalding. Looking further ahead, trumpeter Hugh Masekela is at the Town Hall on the 27th with the Jazz Epistles. Saxophonist Ahmed Abdullah leads his diaspora ensemble in a jazz opera titled Sun Ra Returns at Sister's Place in Brooklyn on the 29th. Finally, saxophonist David Murray leads the Class Struggle Ensemble at the Village Vanguard from May 2nd through 7th with trombonist Craig Harris. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, full listings are on our blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog, where you'll also find reviews, features, and jazz news. And Suga is spelled S-U-G-A. Playlists and audio from this and previous shows are also on the website. If you're on Twitter and Facebook, look for us there too, where we'd appreciate likes, tweets, and shares with your friends. And if you like what we do, please help the station stay on the air by pledging whatever you can and consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge. See the Support WBAI link on our website for details. One more time, we have two pairs of tickets to give away to Linda Mahon O's 9:30 p.m. Jazz Standard set on Wednesday the 19th. And we'll take the first two callers right now at 347-508-5447. That's 347-508-5447 if you're interested and are able to go at 9:30 p.m. on Wednesday. This is Hank Williams signing off with our bi-weekly schedule. We're off the air next week, but we'll have updated event listings online and be back on air on Sunday, April 30th. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on the Bandstand.
This is Christian McBride, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
The next tune, it's Deep Sea Dancers. But before we get into that, I want to sort of also acknowledge that it appears, from what I noticed, your previous release, Initial Here, you seem to incorporate more Asian-related, well, you incorporated Mandarin Chinese via the multi-instrumentalist Jin Xu.
Sada, ka sonanda. steering steady. And satiate your soul. And don't take time to wonder when the strength will take its toll. So hold the steering steady and satiate your soul.
That seemed to be, like, I don't know, your musical gateway to including your culture. Mm-hmm. Is that the case, or did you do it before that and I missed it, or what?
That was something that I wanted to incorporate. My first language was Hokkien, which is a southern Chinese dialect, very similar to what they speak in Taiwan. And Mandarin was something that every Saturday we went to Mandarin school, Chinese school in Australia. And growing up in the community that we did, it was tricky because, you know, when you're a kid and you're growing up as one of the few Chinese kids in your school and, you know, you're aware of your Chinese background, but then again, you're also very much aware that you're an immigrant and you want to be a part of the people that you're around, you know. Mm-hmm. And looking back, a lot of that time spent at Chinese school, as kids, me and my sisters, we were kind of like, well, you know, what's the point? You know, we don't use it. We don't have that many Chinese friends, you know, like, we kind of very much treaded that in between. We didn't really know where we sat in a way, you know, like we felt very much Australian, but we knew we were Chinese too, Malaysian Chinese. So looking back on it, it's something that I wish I would have actually tried harder in those Saturdays,
right.
Going to Chinese school. Like, I wish that I had been more into it at the time. And that's something that I still try and work on is my Mandarin. And that was something that I wanted to do, was to write lyrics both in English and Mandarin. And I would love to do that again. And Jen Chu was just the perfect person. I mean, she's just...
Yeah, she is.
Not only just a fantastic musician, but, yeah, she speaks Mandarin and she really worked a lot on that tune and she just completely delivered. And yeah, she's the one that really inspires me. She's always going on those long trips and
yes.
studying, you know, one thing for a good few months, 6 months, you know, a year. And it's just really interesting also the fact that she's bringing so many Asian elements together.
Yes.
Japanese. I think now she might even be in Japan, but Korean, Japanese, Chinese. She's also part East Timorese. And yeah, so she's super inspiring.
Yeah, we love Jen Shu around here. I usually mm-hmm. get to see her. As a matter of fact, I think I saw her last year at the Vision mm-hmm. Festival in Judson Memorial Church. It will be this year around Memorial Day weekend it starts.
She's ridiculous. Like, it's really inspiring. Yeah.
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 Deep Sea Dancers.
So Deep Sea Dancers, that's a tune that it's based on a melody that is just pretty much the thread of the whole tune. The idea behind the tune was that everything is centered around the melody, the bass, the saxophone, and the guitar. We all improvise over that melody, not really thinking about harmony as such, but just around just that one line. And then slowly the harmony comes out from underneath. And then that kind of takes over towards the end. And that's when the tempo speeds up. That's kind of how I thought about the tune compositionally. And I dedicated it to Izumi Uchida, who she was my manager at one stage, and she passed away a couple of years ago. So that was for her. And it's called Deep Sea Dances. To me, that's what I think of when I hear the melody.
And next there's Western.
So Western, that's another kind of crazy tune. A few years ago, I did the Sundance Film Composers Lab.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a really fantastic program that was just one of the best couple of weeks of my life, you know.
Wow.
Like, it was at the Skywalker Ranch. Basically, composers were paired up with filmmakers, and my particular week was specifically documentary filmmakers. And I got put together with these fantastic brothers, the Ross brothers, and they were working on a documentary called Western. And the documentary is about pretty much the border between Mexico and the U.S. and how some of the crime as a result of some of the drug lords, those gangs, have impacted lives on those border towns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fantastic documentary. And part of the program at Sundance was really great. It was just basically a collaborative exercise to collaborate with these filmmakers and to write music. And I was talking with the directors, and they were really into spaghetti Western films. And I watched quite a few for kind of research into just instrumentation, that sort of thing. And it was just so interesting. Although this piece has absolutely nothing to do with documentary, it's kind of a result of watching those spaghetti Westerns. How interesting and kind of absurd a lot of the words are overdubbed, because there are lots of Italian actors, you know, and it's just quite absurd but so beautiful at the same time. So that's kind of the inspiration behind Western, you know.
Your release, Walk Against Wind, closes with Midnight, which includes Fabian Amazon.
Fabian Amazon. He plays keyboards on that. And it's kind of just a fun little tune, and initially when I wrote it, like, it was kind of inspired by my old kind of rock days, angry, angsty teenager vibe, you know, listening to Tool and that sort of thing, and, you know, bands like that, and, yeah, that's kind of the premise behind that.
You're playing electric on that one?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So no wonder why that's my favorite then. That explains it all right there.
That's great. Everyone's been through it, you know.
And I also love the keyboards. Fabian's playing Fender Rhodes.
Well, yeah, exactly. Okay. That was with distortion and and so that kind of gives a lot of grit to it. He's great with the sounds too.
Yeah.
I'm really grateful for that. Both Fabian and Matthew Stevens, like, they spent a lot of time on just the sonic palette, you know, and it really gives a lot to the album, I think,
So I think now I should show some love to the rest of the musicians. There's Ben Wendell. He plays with Kneebody. He's on tenor saxophone. Matthew Stevens on guitar. I've seen Matthew Stevens play with everybody. I've seen him play with another bassist, Ben Williams. And Justin Brown on drums. As a matter of fact, he was featured at this year's Winter Jazz Fest. He had a set. Actually, it seems like everybody has been involved with Winter Jazz Fest at some point or another, who you're playing with.
Everyone's involved with their own band. Everyone has their own great projects as band leaders, each and every one of them. Ben, Matt, Justin, and Fabian. So, and Winter Jazz Fest, it's just one of the most awesome times of the year, I think, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So much music, and, they really do a fantastic job.
Yay, Bryce Rosenblum.
Yeah, exactly.
it's Fabian or Fabian?
Well, yeah, that's like the ongoing mystery. And I mean, technically, Fabian or Fabian, he was born in Cuba, in Havana. And so, you know, he'll introduce himself as Fabian if he's speaking to English-speaking people, or if he's speaking to Spanish-speaking people, he'll say Fabian.
Exactly.
And, it's pretty much, yeah. And it, you know, we kind of leave it up to... Well, he leaves it up to whoever to call them what they're comfortable with, you know?
Because I was thinking, you know, okay, he's from Cuba. It's Fabian.
Exactly. It's just so interesting that sometimes people want you to decide, and they want him to decide if which one it is, but, you know, he's comfortable either way, you know?
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
The record label, Biophilia Records.
Yeah.
Fabian is a co-creator of said label, yes?
Well, he is the creator.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all him.
Yes.
You know, something that he's thought a lot about for the last 10 years or so since we were both students at Manhattan School of Music. And he's always been a huge lover of nature. And this is something that maybe he can speak more about this than I can, but he's always been an avid nature lover. And for him, he started the label for quite a few different reasons. Initially, he was inspired by certain people that he met in his life. One particular person who was working at the Museum of Natural History called Michael J. Foster. And he's always had a huge interest in nature and the environment as well as music. And he kind of wanted to combine the two. So the record label, Biophilia Records, it's affiliated with some environmental organizations.
Yes.
And we do some volunteer events. And we're also doing, April 18th, we're doing a collaboration with Biobus on a solar-powered stage in Union Square.
Oh, wow.
And we have a person who works with us, who's our sustainability consultant, Jessica Wu, who studied at Columbia Environmental Sustainability. So, you know, we try and do what we can. You know, as musicians, we're touring, we're trying to make our music, and so much time is spent on that. But this is something that Fabian really believed in, and that we believed in too. And, you know, it's hard on the road, traveling so much and keeping up with our music, but it's still something that we believe strongly in. So that's the record label, and we have a design which Fabian came up with, Fabian. And it's a 20-panel, double-sided, origami-inspired piece of paper art. It looks like the size of a CD, but folds open into this kind of big origami-ish looking thing.
Wow.
And the premise behind the packaging is that there's no plastic. Yeah, so there's no physical CD, but there is a code as well as a QR code that you can scan with your phone.
Nice.
And, yeah, we're working on the app. It should be coming soon, the Biophilia app. So that's the Biophilia at the moment.
Amazing.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to find out more about this packaging and environmental and the label itself, you did a great job, I thought. But you can go to biopheliarecords.com. That's biophiliarecords.com/biophilia. Folio, Biophilio. But there's a lovely tab when you go to Biophilia Records, and it's right there. Just click on the tab, and you can find out all about the packaging, and you can, you know, find out about the label and all that good stuff there. As a matter of fact, I saw Fabian as part of the Winter Jazz Festival. He was there the night that Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra were there, and there was a panel discussion on environmental justice and art and that sort of thing. So, yay.
Yeah, I was very, very proud. And yeah, it was a beautiful discussion, I thought, and beautiful music with the Liberation Orchestra.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So there are all sorts of things that came up as you were talking. One, your being of Chinese descent and born in Malaysia and moving to Perth. And is there anything that you think that helped you musically, having that as part of your journey?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. There were a lot of great musicians from Perth who inspired me and who were really encouraging in my development.
And you had your rock band there.
Yeah. Yeah. In Perth, in high school, we had a little rock band called E-Day Fix. We were all kind of nerdy music students in our high school, and we were studying Berlioz and thematic idea of the idée fixe in French, IDEEFIXE, and we thought it would be so witty to have a rock band called idée fixe, but spelling it like EDAYFIX, you know, super rebellious. And then after that, Perth has like a this part of Perth called Northbridge has lots of live music, and there's a great jazz club called the Ellington, but there's also a lot of rock bands, a lot of cover rock bands. That, the pub scene in Australia is quite huge, so that's what I did a lot of in college.
Nice. So when did you start to focus more on jazz, as it were?
Well, I guess towards the end of high school and into when I started studying at the university in Perth. And then I got the opportunity to come to IAJE, International Association of Jazz Education,
in 2004.
Yeah, it was so amazing. I couldn't believe when I came to the U.S. for the first time, to New York for the first time, and seeing this amazing conference and seeing so much live music and getting so many great lessons. Yeah, it was such an incredible trip for me. And then that inspired me to move to New York City and study at the Manhattan School of Music. And I've been here for the last 11 years.
Wow. You had mentioned your siblings earlier. I understand that they're doctors and doing something else that's not musical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did that play with your parents?
Well, you know, I mean, they eventually got over it. I think being the youngest of three helps, you know. I owe so much to my sisters for being the ones to kind of test the waters first, and my parents did everything.
Right.
And I think in the end, they learned to kind of get over it. They see what I'm doing now, and they're happy.
So you started playing European classical piano, and then you switched to bassoon, and then you went to electric, and then you went to acoustic.
Yeah.
What is, you like low tones, or what's...
Yeah, I think so. I think that's just it, pretty much, you know. Yep, that's pretty much it. Yeah, I still love bassoon. It's still, you know, one of my favorite instruments. And, yeah.
Have you recorded with
it? I still
it?
Have one.
Mm-hmm. Have you recorded with
it? Yeah, I played a little bit on that one track with Jen, actually,
yes.
On the album Initial Here.
Yes.
It's just a lot of overdub bassoon and bowed bass. I'd love to do more of it, and if Fabian's working on some of his film music or cues that he needs to write and he needs bassoon, I might do a little bit there, you know, but it's something that I still love. It's just hard to find the time to really fit that in, that practice.
You were a runner-up as part of the Thelonious Monk competition?
Yeah, it was honorary mention, yeah.
Oh, okay. Did that help you in any way as far as your introduction to musicians and the music or the art?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's such a fantastic competition. It was such an amazing experience for me. I mean, just getting to play in front of a panel of the people that you've admired for so long, you know, Christian McBride, Bob Hurst, Dave Holland, Harry Hayden was there.
Oh my gosh. Sometimes
it was just pretty much, you know, everyone that you could imagine. Yeah, and a lot of my peers who were in that competition, like, I still keep in touch with and, yeah, talk a lot of bass. And so it is an amazing experience to play in D.C. at Kennedy Center.
I'm surprised that you were able to play. Those names that you listed were there. Like, oh, my gosh, no! How? Amazing. I would have frozen.
Yeah, and, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just glad I just did it, you know.
Yeah.
Even... you know, without just running off on stage. Yeah.
Do you remember what you played?
Yeah. I played In Your Own Sweet Way, and then I played one original composition, and then I played something else that I cannot remember. It may have been 26-2, I'm not sure.
Did you record any of the original composition?
No, that composition is still unrecorded, and, you know, that actually reminds me, maybe I should dig that up. Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah,
you really should do something with that one after all that hard work.
yeah, I should, yeah. I might dig it up. I might do that. Thank you.
You do a lot of side work. How did you wind up having the opportunity to work with Dave Douglas, Joe Lovano, and Joey Barron?
With Dave Douglas, I met Dave when I was a student at the Banff Center program for creative improvisation, and he was director at the time. And I met him through that, and then over time we connected and he asked me to play in some things. And since then he's asked me to play in his quintet, and then also that led to playing with the band Soundprint, co-led by Dave and Joe Lovano and featuring Joey Barron and Lawrence Fields on piano. And it's a trip. I mean, I've listened to all those musicians growing up in Perth, and what can I say? It's just an amazing experience to play with people with that much musicality and years of experience.
Well, since you're a bass player in demand, that's who will come a-calling, I guess. And presently, you're playing with Pat Metheny.
Yeah.
So we ask everybody, you know, those who wind up playing with, we ask Antonio Sanchez, we ask anybody who's played with Pat Metheny. What was the call?
Well, what happened was I was playing with the band Soundprint with Douglas and Joe Lovano in Detroit. And I think, we were opening for Pat's band. And after we played later on in the night, I bumped into Pat, and Pat was very complimentary. And he was like, yeah, it's sounding great. And I was like, oh, wow, you know. And he was very nice and very sweet. And then a couple of years later in Detroit, I'm backstage, and I just played with Anat Cohen on one of the stages outdoors. And I was watching my friends Rudresh Mahanthapa with Matt Mitchell and Adam O'Farrell and Rudy Weston. So I was just hanging out backstage and checking them out. And Pat walked in because his band was playing after them. And he was like, oh, hi, how are you? And really friendly. And he asked if I had ever gotten that email wanting to play. I'm like, no. And I went home and I'm like looking through all my spam and inbox, you know. And then after that, I went to his place on the Upper West Side, which isn't too far from where I am, up in Harlem, and played a little bit with him, and then played some with Antonio Sanchez. And then that was what it was. And now I'm extremely fortunate to be playing with Pat. Yeah, it's been unreal. Really has. Yeah.
And you have a date in June at, what, Beacon Theater?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's our first date in New York City. So, yeah, really excited about that.
And you will be smuggling me in through your base case. I will hide in there.
Yes.
You can just bring me in.
Yep.
Just wheel me in and
there's
we'll be all right. Okay.
Yep, totally. There's plenty of room.
Oh, somebody else I saw you play with at Winter Jazz, Ibrahim Malouf.
Yep.
That had to be an interesting gig. How did you wind up doing that one?
That was a super fun gig. I think I met Ibrahim through Dave Douglas. I think he came to one of my gigs a long time ago, and he asked me to sub. It's usually Lyra Grenadier on that gig, and it's wonderful music. It's dedicated to the music of Kaltum, the fantastic vocalist, and super fun gig. Frank Cuesta on piano, and Clarence Penn, who I used to play with Dave Douglas way back when, and he's fantastic, and Mark Turner on saxophone, who...
Yes.
Unbelievable. So it was really beautiful music, beautifully arranged, and Ibrahim is a really unreal musician, what he does with his instrument, all the quarter tones, and a really funny guy too. Really
funny guy. And he has great sneakers.
Yep, he does have nice sneakers.
So when did you decide that you wanted to express yourself, be a band leader? How did you decide, I want to express my own compositions?
There was never exactly one point. I think I've been trying to write music for as long as I can remember. When we were young and doing Yamaha music in school, we were encouraged to do some composition, And I think I did more and more of that when I was in college. And, there was never like a moment where I was like, I want to be a band leader. I love being a side person and I love being a band leader. And I think being a side person for me is extremely important. It strengthens your playing, especially as a bass player. And also, I love playing new music. I love being challenged and in ways that I may not even be able to challenge what a lot of band leaders present to me. And I really enjoy that, And I don't consider it like a job or anything. I try and see what I can learn and get better as a player. And I'd like to make music with people, So, yes. And also just as a woman, I think, not to concentrate on gender, but like in many cases, people, they may not necessarily see a woman as a strong side person, someone that can hold things down, And very often people think of a woman as being maybe the front of the band sometimes. And, everyone's different. Not everyone will think that way, but I can remember that early on in my days, when I was in college at Manhattan School, if I had a gig, people might think that maybe it was my gig, or the assumption wasn't that you would be a side person doing lots of side person work necessarily. And so I wanted to be a strong side person. I wanted to be able to sight read music. I wanted to be able to, have a strong beat, have a strong pulse and be strong. So, and I think that helps also as a band leader, because when you're a side person and you observe other band leaders too, and you see their style, you see the way that they command the band, and you know what you like, and you kind of pick and choose what you want to be as a band leader, and that helps. And when I play my own music, I find it really rewarding to write something and to watch the music evolve with different musicians in different times, different settings. And it's a good challenge, being a band leader, there are very different challenges compared to being a side person, and there's a lot more you need to worry about, like getting everyone there on time, getting everything settled, the whole organizational aspect as well as the music aspect. And I think there are lots of skills that can be kind of enhanced, when you're a band leader. And I find it very rewarding to watch my music change and evolve, and also to hear different musicians play my music. It's such a beautiful and interesting thing to hear that happen, because no one plays anything like the same as anyone else. It's always different. Yeah.
So this coming Wednesday, April 19th, two sets, 7:30, 9:30 at Jazz Standard. Linda O will be there with your group.
Ben Wendell on saxophone, Matthew Stevens on guitar, Fabian Almasan on keys and piano, and Rudy Royston on drums.
Yes, and you've recorded with Rudy Royston in the past. He was on...
my second album.
So that'll be great. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. That's going to be good.
Thank you.
Now, will you be lending your vocals that evening?
Just for the two songs, just a bit of color,
Okay, cool. Well, definitely looking forward to that. And, oh, by the way, many thanks for your participation in that Village Voice piece that came out last year. How much feedback have you gotten from that?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. Someone asked me about that just today, actually. You know, I was really happy that I got to speak with Michael Agovino. He's a fantastic journalist. He saw me play at Town Hall when I was playing with the band Soundprints, and we were opening up for Wayne Shorter Quartet for his 80th birthday celebration. And since then, he pretty much just followed me around on and off for a couple of years, going to my gigs, even sitting on some of my classes teaching at Manhattan School of Music pre-college. And so, yeah, he was really interested in what I was doing, and I was so grateful, you know, just to have someone really be interested in the music and to see what I did. You know, there were parts of that article that I think were some good points that I think kind of need to be said, things that are important, such as the cost of music education, you know, and what that means for a lot of students who are graduating or intending to study music, you know, just the cost at certain institutions, like, it's just astronomical. And I think that it's inhumane, you know. You know, a lot of my students, if I know they have to pay full price for some of these institutions, I just don't understand, you know. And I'm grateful for that article in some ways, because I'm hoping that a lot of non-musicians who read that article maybe think about what it is that with improvising musicians, what we go through day to day. And if you're that young professional that goes to so-and-so jazz club in New York, that goes in wanting to have a drink and listen to live music, but sits and talks the entire time loudly, and, you know, like, if you're that person, I hope that you've read the article and that maybe you think a little bit about how many hours that we've spent trying to write that music, rehearse that music, and then playing for maybe tips or not much more than that. You know, there were some people, I think, who kind of thought they didn't like the stereotype of the starving jazz musician, that sort of thing. And, you know, I don't want to ever stereotype people into that category, because not everyone is at that level, you know, but it takes time, you know. We've all been through that, lugging all your gear to a gig for next to nothing, but doing it because you love it and you do want to play the music. And there are lots of things that we think about as musicians, and I think it's a good thing for those people to think about, just, we're not just backing bands that just play, and, you know, we work really hard.
Right.
All the musicians that I play with and that I know who are around me, my peers, like, they work extremely hard doing what they do, and I hope that people can get appreciated for how much work they put into things. Yeah, the article, I'm very grateful for it. I mean, obviously, you'd always rather an article about you focuses on your music and what you're creating rather than the financial aspects. But, you know, I think those were interesting points to point out that Michael kind of raised. And one thing, though, is that I wasn't quite sure about the headline.
Oh, yeah.
On the same someone's book. And I think it's very funny because a lot of people just read the headline.
Right.
And so
some
people were contacting me, people I didn't really know, and asking me to do gigs, thinking that I was broke. And someone on Facebook was like, well, maybe you should get a day job.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and there were people who I'm sure did not read the entire article, because I'm definitely not complaining that I'm, you know, broke or anything. You know.
But at the same time, I mean, would you really complain that somebody gives you a job?
Yeah. Exactly, you know. So, I mean, it's just kind of interesting just how different people read that article.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad that a few points were kind of made. And for anyone that just read the headline, I think sometimes it's important to read not just the headline. And I think that's a large reason why we're in the current political state.
That is true.
On, you know. So,
read the fine print. Read all of the print.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
As a matter of fact, you were preaching to me when you were talking about the person with the cell phone and their cell phone going off, and you're giving them the look. It's like,
I just can't believe it.
I have told many a person, be quiet. Go home and talk. There's music here.
Yeah, exactly.
Fortunately, that article is still up on the Village Voice site, and so we provided the link at our Sugar site. So for people, you can read the article. By the way, what is it that you're teaching? What is the subject?
I do a lot of kind of guest artist residency type things or summer camps, that sort of thing. This year I'm teaching at the Banff Center Program for Creative Improvisation, also in Denmark, Vala Kilda, and in Slovenia, Novo Mesto.
Wow.
So I do sometimes as residencies. I'm doing one in a couple of weeks at the University of Madison, Wisconsin, and I teach at the Manhattan School of Music pre-college division every Saturday. Yeah, so it's quite a range of things.
And on Saturdays you're teaching?
Private bass lessons.
Okay. Yeah. And yeah. How do people wind up taking those? Do they just contact the Manhattan School of Music and ask for Linda Mahan Oh? Yeah. As their instructor?
Yeah. So that program is catered for young high school students who are getting ready for college. And
beautiful.
They have a fantastic pre-college program, yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Linda Mahan Oh, for joining Sugar in My Bowl. And we look forward to seeing you at the Jazz Standard on Wednesday, April 19th.
Beautiful. Thanks so much. Bye.
And you're listening to the closing moments of Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. Our guest for this evening was bassist, composer, and expert side person, Linda Mahan Oh. What you're listening to right now is Midnight from Walk Against Wind. That's Linda Mahan Oh's latest, which was released this past Friday. As mentioned during our Bandstand segment, you can hear the complete release at our Sugar blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org, sugainmybowl.org. Featured on Walk Against Wind are Linda Mahan Oh on electric bass this time, Ben Wendell on tenor saxophone, Matthew Stevens on guitar, Justin Brown on drums, and Fabian Almazan on electric piano and effects. Before that, we heard Before the Music, Linda Oh Trio. This is from the 2008 CD Baby release entry. That's Linda Oh on acoustic bass, Ambrose Akinmusiri on trumpet, Obed Calvert on drums. Before that, we heard Soundprints from Joe Lovano and Dave Douglas, Soundprints, live at Monterey Jazz Festival. This is a 2015 Blue Note Records release. Joe Lovano on tenor saxophone, Dave Douglas on trumpet, Linda Oh on bass, Joey Barron on drums, and Lawrence Fields on piano. Before that, we heard Hugs, or H-U-G-S, Historically Underrepresented Groups, from Fabian Almazan's 2011 Biophilia Records release, Personalities. Fabian Almazan on piano, electronics, effects, audio manipulations. Linda Mahan Oh, or Linda Oh, on acoustic bass. Henry Cole on drums and Giro. Before that, we heard Thicker Than Water by Linda Oh from her 2012 Greenleaf Records release, Initial Here. Linda Oh on acoustic bass. Jen Hsu on vocals, Dana Stevens on tenor saxophone, Fabian Almazan on piano, Rudy Royston on drums. Not quite sure if the tickets are still available, but the number to call is 347 347-420-7721. That's 347-420-7721. And that would be for the second set of Linda O's group at the Jazz Standard, the 9:30 set. Stay tuned for La Nueva Alternativa coming up next, and we'll be back on April 30th. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Stay tuned.
Hello, bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.